So anyway, it turned out to be a big blessing for mm-hmm. us, especially in the season in which we utilized it. And now it still feels like a blessing because it's a sense of security.
Yeah.
We can always tap into it if needed. And it was just a sense of education that what you were talking about in the program, just I had no idea existed.
Like there's several banks that do this. And let's say you have 475 available to you and you've taken out all 475. You could call the bank and say, hey, I see that rates are going to go down, but I don't want to take the risk of rates going up. So I want to take 300 of it. I'm just using an arbitrary number. And I want to lock that in at this rate. And it's a $90 fee. And you leave the other portion variable. Now, if rates were to drop down, the average consumer, when you tell them that it's variable, they only think that rates go up.
Right.
They don't ever think the converse, which is rates can come down. What is the rate of return if I took 3% and made it 5%?
3%.
That's the margin.
Oh, so yeah. It would be
almost
more
double.
Than double? Yeah.
No, not more than double, but almost double.
Almost double.
If it was 6%, it would be double, but okay. They're not getting 6% right now.
Yeah.
That's what banks are doing. So it's interesting that you point that out because what the banks play, the game that they play, welcome to another episode of the Replace Your University podcast. I am here with Derek Minyard.
How's it going?
Good. And Derek, for those that don't know, what you're watching, you got Ren behind the camera, but he owns a company called FEMI. What does that stand for?
FEMI Collective. It's based on a Greek root word, which means fame and reputation.
Yeah.
And we help take people's message who are impact seekers and mm-hmm. we help expand their message to improve their reputation, take their message to the masses.
Yeah. So if you've got a podcast or YouTube channel or anything of that nature, or you're just a content creator, you don't have to spend tens of thousands of dollars on equipment and personnel. We don't have that in-house. They come to the office twice a month and I knock out 4 to 8 hours total in a month of content, and they do all the editing and whatnot. So just plug for you and your company if
you're
willing to take on some more clients. But they do a great job. They do all the editing. They just come in and say, hey, this is what we need done today. And they shoot it, they go and edit it, and next thing you know, they post it on social media, on
podcast,
YouTube,
TikTok, socials,
Instagram.
Yep. We come and film in person. We also do live events, AV, things like that as well, webinars, marketing materials. So
nice. We should take advantage of that too. So the reason why he's not here for that purpose, but another reason why he is here is, was it 3 years ago that you learned this?
Yeah, it was actually, I did it back in 2020, but I began learning about HELOCs and the strategy you teach back in 2019.
Okay, gotcha. And he learned it from Taylor Welch as well.
Yep, so I had just joined Taylor Welch's company back in the day, Traffic and Funnels, and I was running their creative, and he said, I told him that I was just getting into real estate, and I just bought a house with my wife, and he's like, do you want to learn how to pay your house off way faster than you are now?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah. He's like, look at Michael Lesh's content. Mm-hmm. And I started doing that. And so I won't get too far into the story, but that's how I got introduced to you.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So let's get into that story. Because real world example, I don't know that we've had a podcast. We may have of some testimonials of other clients come on that talk about, you know, their journey through the strategy. So did you have a mortgage already or were you buying a house?
Yep. So we had a mortgage.
Okay.
I was living in my own house in the Donelson area of Nashville. My wife had her own house more in the downtown area.
Mm-hmm.
We got married. She won the argument. I moved in with her.
Nice.
And so,
she has a nicer house?
She did. Yep, she did.
Probably better interior design too.
Oh, looks beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. Her mom actually sells furniture, so she has a great just interior design taste.
Yeah.
So it looked great.
Probably smelt better.
Oh, yeah. Like roses, sugar, all the good stuff.
And all the toilet seats were clean and whatnot, yeah.
So we kept my house as a rental property when we got married. I rented it out. That was, 2019 when we got married.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor told me about your strategy. I was now living with Rachel downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized, like, wow, even in that time, she already had some equity in her home.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to learn about the home equity lines of credit that you offered. So I got connected with somebody who offered us a first lien HELOC on the home. Instantly, that unlocked, over $100,000 of equity mm-hmm. for us to tap into
right
away, liquid. I even got debit cards. I could swipe, buy whatever I wanted.
Yeah.
So Rachel and I...
For those watching, a lot of banks will call it a debit card. Very few are actually debit cards. They should be credit cards. The reason being is if it's a debit card and you've got a HELOC, let's say 100,000 or several hundred thousand or a million, if it's a debit card and it gets compromised, somebody's got access to all of that equity. However, on the credit version of it, think of it no different than this. You have your debit card compromised. How long does it take to get your money back? Weeks. Yeah. Weeks, if not months.
Yeah.
However, if it's a credit card, what happens?
They'll freeze it right away. Just
yeah.
They won't even charge you.
Yeah, probably a week later, it's rectified, no big deal. So if you're out there looking, there are certain tools that you should accompany with a home equity line of credit, and it should be technically a credit card, but some banks make the mistake of advertising that it's a debit card associated with it. But you have access to your HELOC just like you would with a checking account.
Yep. So day one, we get the HELOC. I immediately had Rachel and myself change our direct deposit. We were both working at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Still are. Hallelujah. And both of our incomes were now going direct deposit into our new HELOC account. That became our vehicle of storing cash.
Right.
And so go. We knew we had a purpose for that. We wanted to invest. So we had my former rental property,
right,
which is where I lived before we got married. We wanted to do it again. And we knew the area of Donaldson. So we said, let's buy one or two properties with this equity that we now mm-hmm. have access to. So we did. And again, this was right in the middle of COVID, right when it was mm-hmm. first hitting. In fact, when we had first signed up for the HELOC, that was, I want to say, before COVID actually hit. Then it like hit.
Yeah.
That we actually had the people from the bank come out and send a notary to our house. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't let us come in.
With a mask on?
Yeah. And we closed in my garage.
Oh, wow.
I drove. Yeah. They drove here, notarized it. We had a table, masks. And it was hilarious. But anyway, we then bought two houses. We were like, oh my gosh, everyone's shutting down. We went and bought two houses mm-hmm. in the middle of one in Hermitage, one in Donaldson. $225,000 to $250,000 each.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had a family friend who was a contractor.
Mm-hmm.
We had minimum viable flip.
Mm-hmm.
Painted the whole house, ripped out the floors, sanded some old floors. There was
so was the flip in addition to the two rentals?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, it was both of the rentals. We bought them. They were low condition.
Oh, I see.
Homes,
gotcha.
And then we flipped the end.
So you renovated the rentals.
Pulled out carpet myself, painted the houses myself.
Mm-hmm.
We bought just basic new appliances, nice stainless steels. One of the houses had the gorgeous old hardwood floor underneath. Mm-hmm. So it's minimum viable investment, maybe $20,000 in each of those.
Yeah.
And then.
And you got the capital from
HELOCs
on
them? Them out. Yeah, we had the capital. It paid all of it. Then we rented them out for 2 years,
so mm-hmm.
2020 to 2022 and a half, almost 2023.
Right.
That's when Nashville experienced that massive housing boom.
I just saw, I don't know if it's on Instagram or Facebook. I'm probably Facebook because I'm dating myself. I'm more on Facebook than I am Instagram. But it was a picture of the last 9 years of the skyline of Nashville. It is crazy.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, we just, I listened to Kevin O'Leary. He was on CNN, and they were talking about the Donald Trump case where he got fined $355 million. And he said there's a reason why people are fleeing New York, especially commercial real estate developers, now because of that case, because there was no victim in that. And I know I'm getting political here. But he said there's other states, one particular, he said Tennessee, Nashville's the it city, that it's had more growth than any other city. And I don't know if he's accurate with that, but he's saying that Nashville's had the most growth over the last several years because it's real estate developer friendly. It's also a pretty decent tax haven. We don't have an income tax, but all that to say, to kind of piggyback on what he said, and you look at the skyline, I mean, I'm a native of here. I was born and raised here, and we didn't really have skyscrapers back then.
No.
And now, oh my goodness, it's a new one popping up every month.
Every month.
It's completely different. Yep. So if you haven't been to Nashville in the last 5 years, you will not recognize it when you come back.
There's a reason they call the crane the Nashville
state
bird for Tennessee these days.
Yeah.
It's a crane because you see them everywhere throughout mm-hmm. downtown. And like I moved here in 2014. And mm-hmm. even since then, the skyline has just changed so much.
So that's obviously helped your real estate journey too.
It has. And so at the peak of the housing market, about in late 2022, mid 2023 actually, is when we truly sold.
Mm-hmm.
We decided, oh my gosh, these houses that we had purchased, flipped, we rented them for 2 years. We did a pro-con list of, if I were to keep these homes and rent them out with today's market over the next 10 years, this is how much profit we would earn.
Mm-hmm.
Versus if we were to sell these homes today, would it beat out the next 10 years of profit if we were to rent it?
Yeah.
By and large, it beat it. If we sold them.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided, you know what? We're about to have a baby. Let's sell them.
Mm-hmm.
So we sold them fully paid off the house in which we pulled the first lien HELOC on.
Yeah.
So currently the balance is zero.
Oh, wow.
But I have up to $475,000 of liquidity that I can tap into like that for whatever opportunity
24/7
arises.
There's just a couple keystrokes. You get access to almost $500,000.
Yep.
Yeah.
On a bank swipe. So that now, I want to say that was a variable interest rate. So the reason that I actually decided to sell was because my interest rate when I got the HELOC was low.
Mm-hmm.
But then in the midst of COVID, it doubled.
Right.
So then all of a sudden, I had to pay.
It was the Ukraine thing.
Double, but.
Yeah, the Ukraine-Russia thing is kind of what caused inflation to skyrocket, and then rates skyrocketed following inflation.
Yep.
Yep.
So, you know, my wife and I were weighing the pros and cons. We realized if we keep this HELOC with this negative debt on it,
right,
we're going to owe a lot in interest over the next. So we have to figure out how to fix that. So we sold. We earned profit. We paid it off.
Yep.
But we still kept the HELOC because should another opportunity arise, we can utilize it somehow.
Yeah, you've got liquidity.
It's a variable interest rate that we have currently.
Mm-hmm.
I am interested. You had mentioned promo interest rates.
Yep.
What's the landscape looking like today with interest rates? Are there any fixed opportunities?
Yes. Yeah, so there are three types of HELOCs. There are fixed, hybrid, and variable. So predominantly when people are going at it alone and getting a home equity line of credit, because the landscape is different in the HELOC world than it is the mortgage world.
Yeah.
You know, I started in the mortgage business, it was the first gig right out of college, 2001. Every lender back then was pretty different from the next one.
Yeah.
You had different guidelines. We had back then was called ninja loans, no income, no job, no assets.
Yep.
And you could still get a loan.
Yep.
Those days have long gone, obviously. But lenders were vastly different back then than one to the next. So it was advantageous for a consumer to shop around for a mortgage back then because you could get lower rates or you could get a different program. I was with a company that was pretty unique where we could write mortgages on any term. So let's say you had 24 years left on your mortgage. We both know the first 5 years are basically interest only payments. And now you're getting right into, I wouldn't say the meat of it. You still got probably another 10 years before you really start, you know, chipping away at it. But you've taken on the big brunt of the interest charges on an amortized 30-year loan in their first 5 or 6 years. So I had the ability that I could write a 24-year mortgage. I didn't have to do a 30. And then show them what the 24-year payment was. I could bind them to that 24-year payment.
Right.
So it was vastly different. Then the 2008 real estate meltdown happens. The government steps in. So you look at 99.9% of mortgages out there. It's either Fannie, Freddie, FHA, VA, USDA. They're all government controlled. So you have a legislation called Dodd-Frank that jumps in and says, we're going to uniform the mortgage industry. Also, the compensation to loan officers changed, but guidelines all become uniform. So now it's not nearly as advantageous to shop around for a mortgage as it used to be.
Okay.
There's not a huge difference between a lender in New York, Florida, or California. There might be a little bit difference in interest rate, where back in the day, there could be as much as a 5% interest rate difference.
My gosh.
Yes. Yeah. Subprime versus prime, all that stuff. Now there's not a huge difference in interest rate. The only difference I really see in the mortgage industry from lender to lender is service.
Yep.
Can you close me in 30 days or is it really going to take 45 or 60? Communication, service. That's where good loan officers come in. And if you have a file that's troublesome, am I working with someone that's experienced that has seen a scenario like this before and can kind of troubleshoot it and fit me in this box to get me approved? Because loan officers only get paid when you close and fund. HELOCs are still the wild, wild west because that is not controlled by the government. So if I were a bank and I were to give you a HELOC, that sits on my balance sheet. I'm not selling that off to the government. They're not buying those things.
Right.
So it becomes an asset to me to sit on my balance sheet. Can be an asset or a liability depending on how I structured it, right? So HELOCs are still vastly different from bank to bank and credit union to credit union. So by and large, a lot of HELOCs are variable, kind of like what you're talking about. You're on a variable HELOC. It can change. Now, good news is, when I say variable, what do you think of?
Going up, down.
Down, there you go, down. So if you had that HELOC prior to 2020, what happened to the HELOC?
Well, it went up and I know it's gonna go back down.
It plummeted, right? So it plummeted to sometimes 2.5% or 3% on that HELOC.
Yes, it did, for a time.
Rates went down. The average consumer, when you tell them that it's variable, they only think that rates go up.
Right.
They don't ever think the converse, which is rates can come down. We're heading into a time where the Fed has already said that in 2024, they're going to cut projected 3 times. Some economists are saying 4 to 6, but you know, I say, let's play it safe, 3, because the Fed's already said we're projected to cut rates 3 times. 2025, they're going to cut 4. That's what they're projecting. I say, this is what, you know, the Fed has said, yep. Not Michael Lush. They're going to cut 4 times. 2026, they're going to cut another 3.
Yep.
So what do you think happens to your HELOC when the Fed cuts rates in your own variable?
Interest rate goes down.
It goes down, so you gain efficiency. So that's variable. Most people get on a variable. Let's talk about the other two. There's also fixed. So believe it or not, there are banks and credit unions out there that have fixed rate HELOCs. Now, when I say fixed, I'm not saying like 10-year fixed, 20-year fixed, right? They are anywhere from 1 to 5 to 7 year fixed. I've seen some in Hawaii that are 5 years, 3.75% fixed, right? So it's not going to change. And now let's also kind of couple in promo rates too. Back in 2020, if I were a bank, and you know, in all transparency, I sit on the board of a bank, so I help make some of these decisions of some of the products that we offer on the consumer side as far as equity products like home equity lines of credit. It wasn't advantageous for us to offer promo rates during COVID. Does a 2.5% promo rate when rates are 2.75 on a variable move the needle as far as originations? No, it's not a huge teaser, right? Or in the marketing world, you call it a tripwire. Because that's essentially what a HELOC is to a bank, is it's a tripwire. They're not in it just for the HELOC. They're in it for your relationship. They want your checking account. They want your savings account. They want your business account. They want to offer you insurance deposits, products and credit cards, et cetera. So they use it as a tripwire to cross-sell you other products that they offer. Yep.
Sometimes I even hear it says like a loss leader.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And they're not losing.
Let's not
paint that picture. They're definitely not losing on the HELOC side either. So I don't want to paint this picture that mortgages are bad and HELOCs are only good. The bank makes money too. And if they don't make money, they're not going to offer the product. But is it more efficient than a mortgage? Absolutely. So back to your question, the banks are still very different from bank to bank and credit union to credit union. But back in during COVID, it was tough to get a promo rate. Promo rates, as long as I've been in business, and I've been in the lending and this business now 25 years, we've always seen promo rates. Always, right? But during COVID, it wasn't as prevalent because it didn't move the needle. Rates were so low. The federal funds rate was 0 to 0.25%. So it just doesn't move the needle, so why have a promo rate? There was still around. There were some banks that offered that. So even during COVID, I got a 1.99% 12-month intro rate. Now, you already know this because you got a HELOC versus a mortgage. What did the closing costs look like on your HELOC versus your mortgage?
I want to say not as much.
A lot of them are free.
Yeah.
Even the appraisal.
Yep.
Even the title costs, because again, they want to use it as a loss leader to get your business, because a HELOC you're going to interact with on a consistent basis.
Yep.
And what did you also have to do with that HELOC? You had to open up a checking and savings account with them.
Yep.
The only way you're going to funnel money into it, right?
Yep.
That's what they're really after, is those core deposits. They want the checking and savings account. But it was tough to find. Now that rates have skyrocketed and about to come back down, so you'll gain efficiency even if you weren't to move, the banks had no other choice but to flood the market with promo rates. So now we find more promo rates out there than we've ever seen. Banks offering 1.99, 2.99, 4.99 for 6 months. It's all across the board.
For a HELOC.
Yes, for a HELOC.
What about, so 6 months, do you see any of them that are longer than 6 months?
Yeah, yeah. Like,
well,
I said,
my mind is now thinking.
The average is a year, and I would say the longest I've heard of is 7 years.
Well, for instance, there's a lot of these CDs out there these days, 5.5%, so maybe 6%. What if myself or somebody watching was to take a refinance $475,000 worth of credit into a new promo rate, which is currently variable, so I'm not going to tap into it too much, put it into a promo rate for 2-3% for 3 years guaranteed, then I just take all that money out and put it into a CD for 3 years.
What you're speaking of is arbitrage.
Yeah.
What you're talking about is exactly, when I say we, bankers do. That's 100% what we do. So banks, believe it or not, so let's say those banks that offer the 4-5% or 3% CDs, money market accounts, they are taking your deposits and they're going and buying T-bills.
Right.
Treasury bonds with that, which you can actually do the exact same thing. You don't need them. They're the middleman. They're the broker to go buy that. So they're taking your money and paying you the average is 0.24%, but let's just say in that scenario it's 2-3% on that CD, yep. And then they go and get a 5% T-bill. What is the rate of return if I took 3% and made it 5%?
2%?
That's the margin.
Oh. So yeah. It would be
almost
more
double.
Than double? Yeah.
No, not more than double, but almost double.
Almost double.
If it was 6%, it would be double, but okay. They're not getting 6% right now.
Yeah.
That's what banks are doing. So it's interesting that you point that out, because what the banks play, the game that they play, you're not limited to play a different game. You can actually play the exact same game that they're playing, and what you're describing is arbitrage. Now, I would encourage you to look at some more advantageous avenues to do that. So instead of getting a CD at 5-6%, maybe it's get into a REIT, get into, you know, digital real estate that could get you 50% or 20%, things like that, right?
Yep.
I mean, look at the rate of return that you got in real estate. That's still around. I know it's a tough market right now, especially where interest rates are.
Yep.
And people aren't wanting to sell because they probably locked in their 2.5%, you know, back in 2020. But there's still some deals out there, and yep. You can get a much better return than what you could get on a CD, money market. And, you know, you're also bound. Those aren't nearly as liquid. You know, I think some of the more liquid ones are 3 months. Some of the less liquid ones may lock you in for 3 years.
Yep.
Yeah.
So anyway, it turned out to be a big blessing for mm-hmm. us, especially in the season in which we utilized it. And now it still feels like a blessing because it's a sense of security.
Yeah.
We can always tap into it if needed. And it was just a sense of education that what you were talking about in the program just, I had no idea existed.
Yeah.
And so, you know, now that you're even telling me that I can bypass the bank and go buy T-bills myself, like I'm going to have to learn how to go find those T-bills, which ones are secure.
Just go right to their website, the Treasury's website.
Wow.
Yeah. Typically banks buy the 6-month T-bills.
Yeah. The reason I thought about that is because CDs seem just so secure. If mm-hmm. I was to pull money out of my home, I would want to make sure the investment would be secure.
Yeah.
So, but it sounds like I'd get an even higher rate of return if I went straight to the website rather than through the bank.
Yeah. And then the third option is hybrid that I touched on.
Yep.
Hybrid means, like, there's several banks that do this. And let's say you have 475 available to you and you've taken out all 475. You could call the bank and say, hey, I see that rates are going to go down, but I don't want to take the risk of rates going up. So I want to take 300 of it. I'm just using an arbitrary number. And I want to lock that in at this rate. And it's a $90 fee. And you leave the other portion variable. Now, if rates were to drop down, and they're not going to plummet again, but let's just say, you know, what they're projecting is another 250 basis point drop over the next 3 years. So let's say 3 years from now, you're like, all right, now I want to lock that in. You pay them $90. They unlock it and lock it back on the lower rate, and it won't adjust on you. But you can have another portion that is completely variable if you choose to do so.
Wow.
So that's called hybrid.
Okay.
So it's just a wild landscape out there. You know, most people that consume our free content are like, yeah, I'm going to go at this alone. And they just don't know what they're getting into, because we have a whole department that's all they do is they investigate banks every single day. Yep. And so we're calling around every state, every bank and credit union that we possibly, there's 12,000 of them. So we haven't hit the whole list yet. Yep. But we've got a huge database of what banks are offering. And if I showed you the spreadsheet, you'd be like, I had no idea it was that vastly different. And it's also different indices too. So you're probably on Prime. That's what most banks tie their HELOC to.
I think it was a Treasury bill.
Was it?
A T-bill.
A 6-month T-bill?
Yep.
Was it my bank?
You recommended it to me.
Okay. It was my bank. Congratulations. Thank you. Yeah, I probably owe you $5. I like the 6-month T-bill. It's less volatile. The 5-year T-bill is actually pretty good too. I think as the moment that we're recording this, the last I checked was a week ago, I think the 5-year T-bill is actually lower than the 6-month T-bill. That's for a different discussion. But HELOCs, again, they're bank-owned assets. They're not mm-hmm. government-controlled. So the banks can tie that HELOC to any indice that they want, including crypto. And that is the problem with the banking industry. It lacks a lot of entrepreneurs.
Yep.
Because it's the oldest way of making money. I mean, Jesus did it in the temple. Banking, right? Flipped over the tables. It's been going on for thousands and thousands of years. It's the oldest form of making money, which is arbitrage. And as long as you don't do anything weird or different, you're always going to make money. So they're not incentivized to be creative.
To reinvent the wheel.
Right.
Yep.
So that's the issue. One, the administration. Yep. Two, bankers are stupid.
And I suppose a thank you is due to you for the information you were putting out and recommending the right mm-hmm. bank. And Actually, there were a few different banks, which at the time when which we spoke several years ago was this bank, that bank can help. Mm-hmm. And I reached out to a few and chose the best one.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. They were very open to the product, very helpful in guiding me through why it makes sense from a cash flow positive perspective for utilizing the checking account and mm-hmm. the sweep feature and putting your direct deposits into it. And as long as cash flow positive, then it will pay off faster than a mortgage at that time. And I know, you know, it's just another way and something to be aware of, and it helps us out a lot.
I want to highlight another thing that we haven't discussed, but I just want to highlight what you've essentially done is you've insulated yourself from the economy and you've created your own microeconomy by leveraging your HELOC. See, most people jump into this thinking, oh, I just want to be debt-free. There's an alternative to that. And if that's what you want to do, again, we're not going to be Dave Ramsey and say there's only one way to do this, right? We're going to treat you like adults, not toddlers. We're not going to call it baby steps. We're going to say, hey, here's options. You're an adult. You pick which option. I'm not a huge fan of being debt-free right now. I did it once, got the T-shirt, felt good at the time, but then there's what's called lost opportunity cost. So you've got $475,000 sitting in your home, appreciating at what?
Negative.
Negative. Good answer. It's negative. The home may appreciate, but the cash is sitting there at negative return because of inflation. So I would encourage you to wake that money up, find opportunities. There's a bunch of them, and there's about to be even more because we're about to go into a down economy, and there's going to be even more opportunities to gobble up things on a discount. So you're essentially leveraging your liquidity to create your own microeconomy that insulates you from inflation and all the other things. So
yep.
Kudos to you.
Thank
Congrats for walking through that door.
Cool. Thank you, Michael.
All right. Appreciate it, man.